First book of Kings, chapter 18. And some of you might be asking, who is the person who is here standing in front of us? My name is William Alcala. I was born in Venezuela. Since 2004, I live in Richmond. And it's a big pleasure to be here with you in this conference. And we trust that what we are going to read together might be a blessing and encouragement for everyone of us. So we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 18. And we read from verse number 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go. Now notice this word here, go. It's repeated 3 times in the reading that we are going to have today. So, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go. That the second time. The first time was the Lord actually saying to Elijah, Go. And the second time is Ahab saying unto Obadiah, Go. So he said here, Go into the land, and to all fountains of water, and to all brooks. Peradventure, we might find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, because Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go. This is the third time. This is Elijah speaking with the authority that comes from God, saying unto Obadiah, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I seen that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay him? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took a pulse of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come until I have, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How he the 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I am standing, I will truly show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Two men had received this order. Go. Elijah, as you read in chapter 17, he went through different experiences in his life that were so useful for a special moment as the one that is about to happen in chapter 18. He had to go, first of all, to the brook of Cherith, and he had to learn the importance of separation. You know that word there, Cherith, means separation, to cut off. And he was there learning the importance of living a life that is not going to be like the people from the world. In that time, Israel was going behind all these idols. dark time. You read the end of chapter 16, and you will see that that king called Ahab, he did worse than all the other kings that were before him. Days of darkness. But there was a man, Elijah, that was able to stand firm, not only before them, but in the presence of the Lord. But he learned the importance of separation. After that, he was sent to another place, Sarepta. That place means refining place, or the smelting place, the place where the stones were taken, and they have to be melted and take the gold or the precious metal away from the refining place. And he had to learn that trials and difficulties were part of the learning process in the life. Brethren and sisters, we want to be useful for the Lord. We must learn the importance of separation. We are in the world. We don't belong to the world. We cannot be copying the way of the world, how they speak, how they behave, how they think. But also we need to learn the importance of the refining place. Sometimes the Lord will take us to experience trials and difficulties that will bring to us that the fire will melt away whatever is going to be a problem in our life, so that the gold might shine out of the fire. So now we have this man ready to go and face Ahab the king. He had met him before in chapter 17, as you can remember, at the beginning of the chapter. He went and presented himself unto the Lord. But when he went to Ahab in chapter 17, the Lord said to him in verse number 2, hide thyself. And then after that, in chapter 18, the Lord says, show yourself. So he was saying, there is a time when you need to hide yourself. There is a time when you need to spend time alone with God. There is a time when you must learn important lessons. And after you have been hiding in the presence of the Lord, and you have known personally of the power of the Lord and the secret of his presence, the Lord will say, show yourself. And when you will go out from the presence of the Lord, you will take with you the preciousness of his character, and the Lord will be revealed through you. When you spend time with someone, when you are with that person and you go out of the presence of that person, you bring something of that person with you. I was talking to believers in Port Alberni recently about my grandmother. She used to love getting a special perfume every time there was the birthday or Mother's Day, whatever. And she put that perfume all on her body, on the hair, and on the clothes, everywhere. And when you went to see her, and you spent time with her, and you get out of her presence, you had the smell and the aroma of her. And everybody could say, you were visiting your grandmother. That happens when we hide ourselves in the presence of the Lord, when we spend time with him. Not only that we are going to meet him, which is important and vital, but when we hide ourselves with him, when we get out of his presence, and it's time to show yourself, people could say, you have been with the Lord. So that was the moment here for this man, Elijah. Show yourself. Go. Go, show yourself. That commandment comes directly from the presence of the Lord. Brethren and sisters, we have heard already the importance of going. And later in the will of the Lord, we speak a little bit about the work in Papua New Guinea. I have to confess that it's when you learn the importance of going, being there, not only because you are speaking directly to the people, but because you are taking with you the character of the Christian life that the world desperately needs to see. Go, show yourself. You have been in the place of separation. You have been in the refining place. You go and show to that wicked man Ahab a life of someone who has been spending time in my presence. That is what the Lord wants. one of us
to go.
But how are we going to go? Some of you who are still at a school or college, university, you are already in the middle of a place where many people are observing you. In a working place, in your neighbor, or maybe some of the elderly saints in the retirement village or the nursing home where you are, and there are many people who are saved. Or maybe someone here who lives in a home where you are the only Christian, the only believer. The Lord has you in that place so you can show yourself as a life that is going to bring glory into the presence of the Lord. Yes, the Lord said unto him, Elijah, you go and you show yourself unto Ahab. When the Lord sent him, he sent him with a promise. He says, and I will send rain upon you. I would like you to notice especially the assurance, the security of the promise of the Lord. You go, you show, and I will. You do your part, you do what I'm asking you to do, and I will send the rain. That's a promise that came directly from the Lord himself. Verse number 2, we got these 3 words, and Elijah went. You can notice in chapter 17, and we were trying to bring a few lessons recently in Victoria Drive from this chapter. You can see that sometimes the Lord, or sometimes the Lord usually sent Elijah to places where maybe he didn't want to go. And after all this time, the Lord is telling him, you are going to go now to show to that king Ahab. He knew that he was looking for him to kill him. But the Lord said, go, and he went. The importance of unquestioning obedience. That's a hard one. It's like the word separation. I'm not going to go much into detail of that word. I am visiting here in this country, but I will tell you that in some places, it seems that that line of separation with the world is vanishing away. But here is the other important point, unquestioning obedience. When you face something in the Word of God that is telling us something that we clearly need to correct in our lives, we don't argue with God. We don't question Him. We don't try to justify ourselves. That was what Obadiah tried to do. We go. Again, that could be difficult sometimes. And I don't know the circumstances of people here, and maybe it's better in that way. If someone who is listening is going through a process where you don't know if what you are doing is not the correct thing, remember, even if we don't understand, even if it's not the first thing that we want to do, if it is the word of God, we do it. You remember, a brother, Williams, who was speaking this afternoon earlier, when he was talking about the assembly of the Lord's people, he brought to us different aspects related to the different names that are associated with the Church of God, of the saints, of Christ, different things like that. Let me mention something very quickly again, because I'm visiting here. When someone leaves the assemblies of the Lord's people, they go somewhere else, and they say, I prayed about it. I cannot understand how you can say that the Lord spoke to me to leave the place where his people gathered unto his name. I will leave it at that. Elijah went to show himself and to Ahab. And there was a sore famine in Samaria. In verse number 3, now we go to the other occasion where the word of God was presented. He says, and Ahab. When you read this word, Ahab, this name, you must remember all the wickedness that was associated with this man and his wife, Jezebel, and Ahab, called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. When you read about this character in this section of the Bible, sometimes you can find expositors that try to be very hard against Obadiah and try to point out the fact that he was there working with this wicked man. But we cannot put aside what the Word of God says here Ezekiah and Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. I just want to suggest here that this man Obadiah was genuinely a believer. We cannot know, understand all the circumstances that took him to be the governor of the house of Ahab. But we can say that he feared the Lord greatly. But there is something important here. Although he feared the Lord, and there are a few good things mentioned about him here, he never called the Lord my God, my Lord, in this section. You can try to have a quick look by yourself, and you can see, for example, that he says in verse number 8, when he said, when he sees Elijah, he said, my Lord Elijah. He called Elijah his Lord. But then later Elijah said, go and tell thy Lord. When you are telling that I am your Lord is Ahab. And then later, even Obadiah himself said in verse number 10 to Elijah, ask the Lord thy God. If you read in chapter 17, in verse number 20, Elijah says, when he prayed for the child that had passed away, he said, O Lord, my God. And again in verse number 21, O Lord, my God. But here Obadiah said, the Lord, your God. He couldn't call him mine. And then later, in the same verse number 10, he said, the Lord thy God leaders, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord. When we call him Lord, my Lord, we are not just repeating a statement that maybe we have been used to it since we were little. The implication of saying, not only that we gather unto the name of the Lord, that means the preeminence, the everything that is for him, but not only when we call him the Lord in the local assembly, but I call him with my lips, my Lord. Do we fully understand what we are saying? We are saying, not my will, but yours. Lord, you have all authority and power over my life. I don't live to please me. My time is your time. Take my life. Take my silver and my gold. Take my will, Lord. When we call him Lord, we are saying, I am your servant. I am your born servant. I don't have any right to try to please myself. My pleasure is to serve him. But here we have a man that although he feared the Lord, he could say, your Lord, thy God, but my Lord is Ahab. Again, I don't want to try to be hard with this man here of Obadiah. The Bible says, and I repeat it again, he feared the Lord. He did something with his prophets, and he helped them. But brethren and sisters, we might take something from the scriptures today, even if you don't remember anything else from this session. To call him Lord is to give him the place that rightly he deserves. He is the Lord. We are not making him Lord. He is the Lord. We just acknowledge who he is, and we call him my Lord. No one can serve two masters. Are we serving the world, or are we serving him? The best way to see the fact that Obadiah, although he feared the Lord, he didn't call him Lord. He didn't want to acknowledge him as Lord. It's when you read that I have sent him to find some grass for the horses. And by the way, you can read it in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 16, that he said that your kids will not take many horses for themselves. You read in the book of Psalms that said, we don't trust in horses. When I was more concerned for his horses, for his animals, instead of being concerned for God's people. As the king said at the beginning, go and help me to find some grass for the horses. He went. And when the word of the Lord came to Elijah to him and said, go. Here we have from verse number 7, from verse number 14, all the excuses that he was making for not going. I was reading and trying to compare with other passages, and I believe that this is one of the longest speech that we have in the book of Kings. A man is talking, giving arguments for not doing what the Lord asked him to do. Could it be like that sometimes with us? The Bible says that those who believe in him were baptized. I don't know if there's anyone here who say that has to be baptized. The Bible says that those who were baptized were added into a local church. And then said also that those who were added, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines, in the breaking of the bread, in the fellowship with one another, and in prayer. They continued steadfastly. That is the word of God. And then we try to excuse ourselves. And we say, well, you know, this, I'm tired and my work and my business or whatever. Okay, that's fine. I understand. I have been there, working full time, going to uni at night time, my family and everything else. Where is your priority? Who is your Lord? Are you calling him Lord with your lips? But you're not willing to submit completely unto him in obedience. Elijah came unto him and said, go. And he started to say, no, I can't. He didn't trust Elijah. He didn't trust the Lord. He even didn't trust the king. He said, well, if I go and say the king, Elijah is here, then I'm sure that when I come back, he will be gone. Even if I come back, the Lord will take you away. And what is going to happen with me? The king is going to slay me. He will kill me. He didn't trust anyone. I was thinking of this man of Obadiah, and I was thinking in Lot, which in the New Testament said that he was living in the city of Sodom, and his soul was in anguish by the filthy conversation of the people in that place. He just Lot. A man that was living in that place, and he couldn't be happy. He couldn't have joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit. He was living in fear. He couldn't trust anybody. Again, we can see other men like Daniel and Joseph that were mightily used, and they got important positions in the kingdoms of other countries, and they were used by the Lord. But here we have a man that he just had excuses for not obeying what the Lord was saying unto him. I mentioned it very quickly before. I just want to highlight this again for a few moments, that Elijah was there as the king, and instead of being concerned for the welfare of God's people of Israel, he was more concerned about his animals. And we know that in the assembly of the Lord's people, our main concern should be for the things that belongs unto the Lord. But are we conscious again of what the brother has been bringing to us before? The uniqueness, the greatness, the importance. Maybe there are several here who have been born into Christian homes, and that's great. That's a big blessing. I wasn't. Maybe there are even some that their grandparents were already in assembly fellowship. Wonderful, that's great. But it couldn't be the case that sometimes we might get used to it. I see my children now. I got 4 children, and they are born in Christian homes, and they are growing up in the assembly of the Lord's people. That's wonderful. But sometimes I ask myself, maybe when we get used to it, we don't understand the importance and the uniqueness of the place where we are. And we might get more concerned about other things and not for the care of the Lord's people. Our presence in the assembly gatherings is so important. Not only for being physically there, but being there intentionally, being ready to help, to do, to contribute. That is taking care for the lost people. Of course, the elders of the assembly, they have a direct responsibility before the Lord with the government of the local assembly. And by the way, we have had some experiences in our lives, and that's what the Word of God says above all, that the young people, and we have to respect and submit ourselves to the elders. But we see here the importance of the care for God's people. I had the privilege of having some godly men of God as elders in the assembly where I grew up. I'm sure the same that you hear. And I remember something happened, and brethren were talking, and sometimes brethren talk. And there were some problems that were being mentioned. One of the elders said, "Be very careful in your vocabulary when you are referring to another brother. Be very careful when you are talking about the Lord's people. They are your brothers. They care that we should have for the Lord's people." What a sad picture of a king we have here. A man that was just concerned. My horses, my mules, the whole nation is perishing. There is a sore famine in the land. Look, my horses. Oh, Elijah, please help me. See if we can find some grass to feed my animals, because I don't want them to perish. But again, we have one man that heard the voice of the Lord saying to him, "Go." And we got another man that heard the voice of the king saying unto him, "Go." And they went on their way to carry on what their Lord had told them. And they found each other. They met each other. What happened when they met? Look, I would like to look at this encounter between these two men as an opportunity from the Lord to bring Obadiah attention and affection to the person of the Lord himself. Elijah came and see him and said, when he found him, he said, "Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." The third time that the word "go" happens here is when Elijah is speaking with the authority of the Word of God and is telling him, "You go. I have been sent by the Lord, and now with the authority of the Lord who sent me, I tell you, you go and tell him that I am here." Brother and sister, that we might have the sensibility to acknowledge when a brother is talking to us with the authority of the Word of God. It might be something that is not what we would like to hear. I remember talking to some young believers, well, I'm not that old, but younger than me, about things like an ifonyo, about reading material. We hear about that is not suitable for a believer. That getting into company with others that will not help them. And we say, "Look, this is no good for you." The Word of God said, so many times, people don't like it. Maybe it happened to me as well. But again, my Lord help us to be humble enough. And that is a hard one. To be humble enough to acknowledge when someone is talking to us with the authority of the Word of God. Obadiah. We said that he feared the Lord. He did something wonderful. When Jezebel was healing the prophet, he took 100 of them and took them into a cave, into a group of 50, and he fed them. He did something wonderful, helping the lost people back then. But he's trying to use this as an excuse for his present disobedience. He was trying somehow to rely in a good experience that he had in the past to try to justify his disobedience at that very moment. Brother, I'm speaking to you, I'm not shaking you. Maybe we have had times in our lives where we have been walking according to the will of the Lord. That the Lord maybe has used us somehow to do something for him. And we can never boast ourselves trying to put in front of others what we have done. And not even to try to justify our present disobedience. But we cannot say, oh, but remember what I did that in the summer. Remember what I used to do before. Yet but the Lord is telling you now something different. Go. Be strange what you did. So wonderful what you have done. But remember, we need to walk in obedience every day of our life. I see the brethren and sister here that they might have much more experience than myself in Christian life. I'm sure that you would agree that you know that we need a fresh communion with the Lord every day. We cannot rely on what we did in the past. We need fresh help. Elijah said unto him something very similar to what he said in chapter 17, verse 1. Ask the Lord of hosts. But this time he says, ask the Lord of hosts, the Almighty One, as he lives. In whose presence I stand, that I will show myself to I have today. He was absolutely sure that regardless of all the excuses from this man, Obadiah, he was telling him, Obadiah, the Lord said so, and he will do it. How do you know it? He said it. And that will happen. And we saw that at the end, Obadiah went, and I have came. And the rest is there in Mount Carmel. Final question.